of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Well, I don't care about the Scott Turner part.
Yeah.
Bill is desperate enough.
Apparently.
To call the Jets?
I thought he like napalmed all year. All he does is make fun of the Jets, makes fun of Woody Johnson. We always said, even after these Manning casts, we're like, all right, that's the one spot he does not want to go to. He's taking himself out of the running there.
Wickersham said that last week.
Yeah.
His comments about Woody Johnson were, yeah, it's kind of how the Jets are, ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
That was his comment about the owner in New York.
And I originally, the first person I saw report this was Rossini. So I was like, all right, well, it's probably not true. And then, but then like multiple other people were like, ah, yeah, this is true. I can confirm it.
Rapshi confirmed it.
A couple of like local guys around there, I think, said the same thing. So you're like, oh, man. So like I knew, we both knew he wanted to be in the NFL. He wanted to be in the NFL. The NFL didn't want him, but he wanted to coach. And I was at North Carolina. To see it any other way, I really don't understand it.
Well, it's just...
It's not an FU to the league.
It's not.
It's not. That's not what it is.
Florio, I think, has a good theory on why this is out there. It's that Bill wants it out there. And Bill wants the Jets to look like clowns when they hire somebody else.
That's a decent theory. Because they'll probably suck. Yep, they'll probably suck next year. But, like, you could have had Bill.
But then that also implies that Bill thinks he would do a good job in the NFL when last we saw him, he won four games.
Yeah.
The whole league doesn't want him. And you better be good at North Carolina to make the Jets look stupid.
So do you think, like, Woody Johnson, I don't know what Woody Johnson thinks, but do you think he felt like, well, Bill's been making fun of us nonstop, so I'm not going to take the interview? Or... Because for them to be like, we're not there yet, it's like, you have an interim coach. You are there.
Yeah.
You should be looking for a head coach.
No, you have a vacancy.
So you, if anybody would talk to Bill, it would be you. And they don't want to do that. So maybe he is just trying to make them look bad. But I think it also still makes him look bad. It kind of proves that the NFL doesn't want him.
Yeah,
and if even a lowly team like the Jets wouldn't even interview him, then nobody was interested this go around.
It tells you how bad of a spot Bill's in.
Yeah.
That he needs to dial up the Jets to set up Woody Johnson to make him look bad, or whatever, knowing the Jets would say no and not even take his call, and knowing he has no opportunity in the NFL.
It's strange.
And he's at UNC. Like, we don't need to spend a ton of time on Bill at North Carolina today. We did a lot of that last week. But that is...
I know.
That was not on my radar. That Bill was going to be calling up the Jets, even to play media games and make Woody Johnson look bad if that's what's going on. I was not ready for that. And it tells you a lot about his desperation.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the three teams right now that have interim coaches, and then there's another host that you know are going to have new coaches right away. Wouldn't you talk to those other teams first? Not the Jets? Like, I never thought it made sense for him to rip the Jets the way that he did. I know he has an issue with Woody Johnson, but wasn't it actually the previous owner that he's like a bigger issue with? Is that how I thought all that played out?
I the Hess family, I think Woody Johnson was either in the mix or about
sort
to be
involved
in the mix early on. I forget. This is what Gary Myers...
I mean, I watched the Two Bills documentary, but I forget all the details.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, they gloss over stuff. Gary Myers in the New York Daily News, he says, Belichick hates the Jets. That's real.
Right.
He also has no respect for Johnson. That's real.
Yeah.
He said, what changed? He needed a job. I'm sure Belichick is enthused about UNC and coaching for the first time, but having interest in the Jets shows how desperate Bill was to get back in the NFL. I think he took the job before the NFL hiring cycle, because he knew for the second year in a row he wasn't getting an offer. The story didn't characterize the Jets' interest. Eventually that was characterized. But there was no meeting set up, and then Bill took the UNC job. He also goes into, I don't buy that Bill doesn't care about the Shula record, et cetera, et cetera. But, I think there's too much bad blood there. And so Bill was, I don't know, calling at the last second to try to finagle a job because he's like, hey, I'm going to take this. I might as well take a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. Or he's trying to set the Jets up to look bad. All I know is if you're going to set the Jets up to look bad, you have to do well at your next stop.
Yeah.
And I'm not holding my breath on that.
No, I think you will do well. I also think it's probably pretty fair to say the next Jets coach will stink. So Bill does have that going for him, where you can compare it to whoever they hire and whatever they do with Aaron Rodgers, although he's playing well right now. But, I mean, I don't think you can expect that to take place next year. So, yeah, I think he'll do better than whoever the Jets hire. But, okay. What does that really get you?
Yeah, I don't think
that's still you're still not in the NFL, which is where you wanted to be.
617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in on Bill and Gerard Mayo's job security, the play of Drake May, where the Patriots are going over the final three games. It's gotten pretty ugly. We do have man-to-man coverage with Christian Gonzalez coming up on a Patriots Monday. We'll talk to Hunter Henry as well. Plus, what happened? A spin around the NFL's Week 15. That comes your way about 15 minutes from now. In the meantime, Susan is in Rhode Island. Hello, Susan.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Yep.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
What I'd like to comment about is that Mayo has clearly lost the confidence of the locker room, that Bowdy or Booty would make those comments. He can't even catch the ball, and there he is commenting on how the offense is run. Even my beloved Drake May felt comfortable enough to comment that he could do a quarterback sneak. I can't even imagine under Belichick anybody making comments other than do your job. My job is to execute the plays the coordinators give us. And it's the fact that everybody's throwing everybody under the bus, whether it's Jonathan Kraft, whether it's Van Pelt, whether it is Mayo, shows that they need to throw them all out, and I don't mean the players, and just bring in a new group. Wolf produced the groceries, and they were horrible. And clearly the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and Mayo are not up to the task.
No, I would agree with
there
that, Susan.
Susan's got them all out.
Susan, firing everybody. She's keeping the players. I disagree with that.
9 days till Christmas, and we got everybody losing their job?
Yeah, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, Keith.
But no, she is right about Mayo's comments, and this has been going on all year long. And then we usually highlight sort of the receivers who always have something to say. Some of them are no longer on the team anymore. But I definitely think there's some of that.
Okay, Booty's a clown. Yeah. We can all agree with that. His comments are clownish. We talked about those. You know, basically, it's hard to bend over and catch.
I am running full speed. Like, right.
And on top of that, it's disrespectful. Teams are playing man-to-man against us, and we need to be aggressive earlier. Those are his comments. He's a clown. They can cut him tomorrow. But it is a good point by Susan about Drake May. He feels like he can say, well, yeah, you know, you make a good point. I have a big guy down there, and I would like to run the football. And
yeah, that's not just like I do what the coach says.
Yeah,
that's
Drake,
sort of a little bit of a departure.
And I don't know if that's intentional, calculated. I don't know if he kind of was walked into it. I mean, it was a leading question, I guess, but that is a player second-guessing the coaching. That's true.
Yeah, because I feel like even a few weeks ago, it would have been more, I just do what the play's called. And he circled back to like, well, you know, Ramondre, he's good at picking those up normally too, and blah, blah, blah. But I think he's starting to feel it a little bit. As far as like just how discouraging it is.
Well, and if he's feeling it and he doesn't believe in these coaches, that's another guy who can get Mayo. If Drake May wanted to, I'm not saying he will.
No.
But if Drake May wanted to, he goes to Robert Kraft. He's the future of the organization. He's about the only thing they have.
Yep.
Him and Christian Gonzalez. He goes to Robert Kraft and says, yeah, I'm not, I can't play.
Well,
for
they were asking him about the losing, and he was like, it wears on you.
Yeah.
And he's like, a couple of games in a row, he has said something similar about how frustrating it is. And you're like, all right, well.
So I think Jonathan can sway Robert, as we discussed. I think Drake May could if he ever wanted to. I'm not saying he would, but he absolutely could. If he is second guessing Van Pelt and or Mayo, That would carry
also,
a lot of weight.
It might also be one of those things, and I don't know if they do this. I would assume the coaches talk to all the players after the game or after the season, maybe even Elliott Wolf. I don't know. It certainly doesn't go to the level of Robert and Jonathan, but this is sort of a different time. Even if Drake May doesn't throw anybody under the bus, if he doesn't really like back them, like can't you read between the lines?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. That might happen.
Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Quick aside, the ball hammock pouch commercials are killing me. Not in a good way. It's got to stop. Mayo, if he would just not put his foot in his mouth every time he spoke, I mean, you'd be able to say, well, look, he has bad players. What do you expect him to do? But the fact that he just can't have a press conference without saying something ridiculous makes it really hard to stand by the guy for me. I mean, it's brutal. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, I think
it hasn't gotten any better.
No.
You would think, all right, you're a rookie coach. Nobody's going to be perfect right away. I think most people can kind of, you know, have that same sense. But as the year has gone on, he has every time said something post-game, said something different on Monday, or said something with Greg and then said something different on Wednesday. Or, you know, like, he keeps having to walk back something that he has said. So he hasn't learned at all from that.
No, like, he has not.
You know, watch what you say right after you lose because you might not really feel that way.
And let's go back to when Mayo replaced Bill. Like, one of the things I thought he would be okay at was the PR media game.
He's the worst.
He worked in the media.
No, he's not good at it.
I mistakenly assumed he would actually be okay at that part of the job.
Incorrect.
I didn't know if he could coach. I didn't want him to be the Bill replacement. I thought the PR relating to the players, you know, getting buy-in from the players, I thought that would be a strength of his. And he's shockingly worse at that than Bill.
No, he's not.
You're telling me he's a worse coach? Fine, I could wrap my head around that. He's worse at the PR game.
Yeah.
He's worse at the buy-in from players. That was Bill's weak point.
We should still, of course, I think we're obligated to update this, something that Gerard Mayo said to the Greg Hill Show back in January.
You feel like more wins next season than this past season? Like, is that?
I do feel that way.
Okay. So we got you on record.
You got me on record.
Yeah. All right.
That we're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, good. All right.
Running out of time. Still could happen.
Could.
They need to win out.
Could happen, yeah.
They need to...
Win two or three.
Oh, yeah, win two of three.
Yeah.
Right, so you're right. So they, if they can win two of these next three, then he will be correct. And then egg on my face for playing that every week.
So that was the Burn Some Cash press conference,
same
right?
One.
That was all the same thing. Or not press conference, interview on the
Greg
Hill
Show. Interview, yeah.
We're bringing in talent 1,000%. So have a lot of cap space.
Love it.
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
Didn't bring in any talent.
Ew.
They brought him one.
Oh, no. You know what? I take it back. Gibson and Hooper, when grading on a curve,
Drake May.
Aren't terrible. Well, no. That doesn't count because I don't count that.
No. They get burning cash means free agents. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we're bringing in talent. Yeah, I guess technically they did draft a really good quarterback, but as far as from the outside, like new additions to the team via free agency or trade?
You have a date on that again? I've asked you this before. That's from
January 22nd.
He's been sticking his foot in his mouth since at least January 22nd.
We're almost a year anniversary from those comments.
Okay, I saw this yesterday. I must have missed this on the broadcast. Now, look, I was pretty quickly out of the broadcast yesterday. Callahan tweeted this late in the game. I don't know if it happened earlier on the broadcast and I missed it or they just did it late. But he tweeted out, the CBS broadcast asked Mayo during the week how he could improve as a head coach. So in these production meetings, they asked him, Tom McCarthy, paraphrase Mayo's answer, part of the Z-Squad yesterday.
Yeah.
He paraphrased his answer saying, quote, I'll take a lot of time to reflect when the season comes to a close.
Good.
He said something like this before.
Yeah.
But he said, I had all these different ideas before the season began, but everything got going so fast, now things are slowing down for me.
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, debatable on that second
part.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But, like, the idea that, well, I have all these ideas and I want to put them into effect, but the season really got away from me and I'm totally going to do it in the offseason. I mean, this is a guy who had the job lined up for 2 years.
Right.
And, you know, had it in writing in his contract for a full year he was going to be the head coach. And that's not implemented in year one. I mean, I don't think that's satisfactory. I don't. 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday, Jones and Keefe. Here on WEEI, we'll get to what happened. Take a spin around the NFL week 15 coming up. But right now, as we are every Monday, we're joined by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
Hey, guys.
Took a while for the offense to get going. Yesterday, you did wind up getting a couple of touchdowns late. Why do you think there was a struggle to put points on the board early on in that game yesterday?
Just bad football, not bad execution. Just all around. A lot of bad and not a lot of good. So we got to play better early, and it's just not good enough.
Anything you could put your finger on specifically when it comes to third down? You know, one of the reasons why you guys didn't have a lot of plays overall in the game was because you were 0-for-6 on third down.
Yeah, I mean, we were just behind the sticks on first and second down. I mean, when you have negative plays and you're in third and 11-plus, I mean, against any defense, that's an uphill climb. So, I mean, when you're in third and long, it always makes things hard.
Okay, you were in third and long in some of those situations. There was also third and fourth and short at one point in time. Earlier in the game, Robert and Jonathan Kraft were shown on the broadcast, and they appeared to be criticizing the play calling. Do you think the offensive play calling this year has been too conservative at times?
I do not. I think AVP is great. I love AVP.
How have you seen the relationship between Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo?
It's been great.
Okay, because after the game, Gerard Mayo kind of insinuated that maybe Drake May should have run a quarterback sneak on third down or on fourth down, and from the outside, it appeared as though he was kind of putting the blame on the offensive coordinator there.
Yeah, I don't really know much about that, but I really enjoyed being around AVP, and I've really enjoyed the offense. Obviously, it hasn't been what we all wanted it to be. In a lot of aspects, but I feel like he really is a great offensive coordinator. I've really enjoyed being in this offense.
We're talking to Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end, here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. There's been a lot of speculation about Jerod Mayo and his job security this year, and that would include on this show. What do you think of that speculation?
I mean, that's y'all's job to do. I just worry about, we got to worry about what we got to do, you know, take it week by week. So I'll let you guys all do all the speculating.
You've had, what, four offensive coordinators in your 4 years here, which I would assume ties a record. I don't know if that is the record or not, but it's got to at least tie the record. How much does that, you know, knock you back, or how much do you have to start over when you go into the next year with a new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, it can be tough for sure, especially for guys that like carry over and come back and all that. I mean, but you know, there's a lot of guys always that come in and are fresh, and so you're always in a way learning a new offense for those guys. So in a way, every year you're learning the offense again. So I mean, yeah, it definitely can you know, change things when you're having to learn a whole new offense again. But yeah, it can make things hard, especially for 4 years, four offensive coordinators, but it is what it is.
Lots of losses the last 2 years, which has to be frustrating the way you guys have played. How do you deal with the losses piling up?
Man, I try to stay as consistent as I can, no matter losses, wins. I feel like I've always tried to do that throughout my career. You know, I got a job to do, and I try to go out there and execute my job at a high level. And obviously, it hasn't gone our way the last 2 years, but I think I stay consistent and still continue to attack each week and approach each week the same way, with the same mindset, with the same just energy, and take it week by week. That's just all you can do in this league. This is a humbling league, and unfortunately, in these last 2 years, and especially this year, we, you know, just haven't got a lot of wins and been humbled a lot, and there's lots to learn from, and you got to continue to grow and learn from these losses.
You know, since we last spoke to you, Bill Belichick took the University of North Carolina job. I'm curious, how do you think he's going to do in college?
Bill, I think, will have a lot of success wherever he is, man. Like, Bill's just a tremendous football coach. Obviously, college is a different landscape nowadays, but you know, Bill is just a tremendous football coach. You know, it was just such a pleasure to be able to have played for him for 3 years. So I think he'll do good. I don't know if it'll be great out the gate, but who knows? He's just a great football coach, and, you know, he'll find a way to get wins.
Patriots tight end Hunter Henry joins us every Monday on a Patriots Monday here on WEEI. Hunter, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Hunter Henry joining us here on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Bill may not be successful right out of the gate, he said, but he expects him to be successful. He also said, I'll let you guys speculate on Jerod Mayo.
We will. I mean, we'll do that for the rest of the season. It's definitely what we're going to do.
I mean, I don't know what else he would want us to do. You know,
it's our job. That's what he said.
No, but I just mean, you know, I don't know how much does he want us to focus on these games. Yesterday, we've said this a couple of times, felt extra depressing.
It was
the Cardinals. They stink.
Right.
It was a 4:30, 4:25 game.
I know.
Head-to-head with the Bills and Lions. That also stunk. It felt worse yesterday. Maybe coming off the bye week made it feel worse, but yesterday was extra depressing.
He's having a career year, Hunter Henry.
Yeah, so maybe that's why he likes the offense. He's like, I like the offense.
Not touchdowns, though.
No.
He's got one touchdown, which he had 9 his first year here, but I think he already has a career high in receptions, and he's really close to yards. He'll probably get that next week. So, like, yeah, individually, he's having a pretty good season.
I like this text, 617-779-7937. Keith, I expect crap questions from Jones. True. Hunter has been nothing but good to you, and you go up and try to badmouth the coaches?
Wait a minute, what?
You're better than that. Jones is not.
Well, that's fair, but what? I didn't have him badmouth the coaches. What are you talking about?
Yeah, how dare you, Keith?
I asked him about I'm curious about the Van Pelt-Mayo relationship. Isn't anybody else?
Yes.
What those guys are like at practice, game day? I don't even know if they talk to each other on game day.
Yeah, well, they certainly, again, Van Pelt made it clear on our show on Friday that Mayo's in charge of if we're running clock, if we're running plays, if we're aggressive, that's all. I'm listening to Coach. I work for Coach.
Yeah.
And then Coach, Mayo, he comes out and says, yeah, you said it, I didn't, when it comes to the conservative play calling and not running Drake May down by the goal line. So, I don't know. It doesn't sound like they're on the same page.
It does not.
Doesn't sound like they're aligned.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fair question.
All right. Well, that's fine.
But yeah,
text in, same number as the call in number. All good.
I'm not. I agree. I'm not better.
Well,
than
no, that's
yeah,
that
no. I do agree with that. We'll get to some criticism from another player on the roster that you haven't seen on the field in a while.
Great,
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, jeez.
Some whoppers from him. We'll do that later on in the program with all your phone calls. Again, 617-779-7937 on a Patriots Monday. Plus, we'll take a spin around the NFL. Recap what happened in Week 15. It's what happened right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Patriots have now dropped four in a row after yesterday's 30-17 loss to the Cardinals in Arizona. Drake May went 19 of 23 for 202 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The Pats are now 3-11 with three games remaining. Next Sunday, the Patriots will be in Buffalo to play the Bills. Week 15 in the NFL will wrap up with a Monday Night Football doubleheader. At 8 o'clock, it's the Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. You can hear the call of Bears-Vikings right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. And the Las Vegas Raiders host the Atlanta Falcons. That game kicks off at 8:30. It's back-to-back wins for the Celtics after last night's 112-98 victory over the Wizards in Washington. Jason Tatum had a game-high 28 points and led the Seas with 12 assists. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as day-to-day after leaving yesterday's game with a heel injury. The Seas are now off until Thursday when they host the Chicago Bulls. The Bruins got the 5-1 win over the Canucks in Vancouver on Saturday. The Bees' West Coast trip continues tomorrow night in Calgary against the Flames. And yesterday, the Boston Red Sox traded utility man Emmanuel Valdez to Pittsburgh Pirates for minor league pitcher Joe Vigotsky. Valdez was DFA'd on Wednesday. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.